The Pew Research Center does a lot of work around issues in society and does a lot of that work by taking surveys. You'll hear Pew quoted as a source on stories covering everything from politics to opinions about the media. This week, they're out with a pretty fascinating study titled 18 Striking Findings from 2018, and it's the focus of our regular segment, The Long View. Our contributing editor, Neil Milner, is here with a closer look, and Neil, this covers a lot of themes.
Yeah, it covers a lot of things, and they're all interesting. When I tried to figure out how to talk about them, there seems to be three kind of, let's call threads, topics that are important because they resonate with what's going on now. Mm. One of which is the couple of facts about immigration and refugees, that this should not be surprising, but the data is pretty stark, that we now have in this country a considerably smaller percentage, a considerably smaller number of illegal immigrants, unauthorized immigrants, than we've had for a while. It's dropped from about 12.5 to 10.5. And that's mainly due, and this started during the Obama administration and has continued, mainly due to the reduction in the influx of people from Mexico. By the same token, and this is not surprising, the percentage that's here, it's a greater percentage that have been here 10 years or more. So what you have is a trickle coming in, but a group of people who are still there. The other thing that's related to
that number, by the way, is interesting, peaked in 2007.
Yes,
it did. A little earlier than a lot of people think.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and that's what I mean. So that, you know, all of the Trump hype and all of the anti-Obama hype, this just reinforces what anybody who'd been paying attention knows, that it had stopped earlier because Obama did a lot of things under pressure from all kinds of people to tighten up. The second thing that's even more precipitous is the large reduction in the number of refugees that the U.S. took this year. It took only 33,000 refugees this year, which for the first time is lower than the rest of the European countries, the rest of the countries combined. This is slightly lower than it was in 2002, right after 2001, when then it went up. Mm. It went up, and then it dropped again. This probably is from the Trump things. This is a quarter of what it was in 1982. So if you think about the number of refugees we took last year, about equals to the population of, here's a city for you, Columbus, Mississippi, right? Mm. It's, which nobody has really heard of here. So that gives you an idea. That's one of the more salient things. It gives you a better notion of what the immigration refugee thing is like.
And that comparison in context, that's, I love that about a lot of these factors that they point out in terms of putting that into some context with history as well.
Yes, that's exactly right. And when they don't, I mean, remember that this is not, these are just kind of factoids that they're putting out. Mm-hmm. It's an invitation to learn a lot more about them. But when you put them together, you learn a good deal. The one about media and social media, for example, the disparate findings there really tell you something. First of all, you wouldn't have had anything about social media that would show up as a striking fact, say, even 10 years ago, certainly 15 years ago. What you now have now is some very interesting things, one of which is that there's a high percentage, a significant percentage of people who find the news getting tired of the news, just being exhausted by the news. It's a percentage that cuts across political party. Republicans are more likely to feel that way, probably because they think that the news is biased against Trump. But overall, it's about 70% of the people who feel, in fact, as I feel, that you just get tired of this kind of stuff.
News fatigue.
News fatigue. Yeah. Then you look more closely at some of the things involving social media, and you begin to see some of the things that people have talked about. Two-thirds of the tweets about news, the links sent out about news, now come from bots, not from humans, mm-hmm. but from bots. You got things linking it. You have younger people more likely to turn off, to get rid of their Facebook app, at least temporarily, than others, reflecting, I think, a kind of ambivalence toward what's been happening with Facebook. You find that cyberbullying is statistically shows up as a fairly significant problem. So you begin to see all the little threads that involve media and social media regarding the news, regarding the other things. And one other that's worth pointing out here is that it turns out that younger people are able to distinguish fact from opinion in the Pew surveys better than older people.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And they do the comparison saying about a third of Americans 18 to 49 correctly identified five factual statements they were asked to categorize. Now, that's better than the than 20% of those who did that 50 and older, but still, that's less than a third.
It is less. No, it is less than a third, but I was surprised at how high it was, considering all of the stuff you're hearing about media literacy, and considering what people say about young folks not being identifying with politics. Hmm. This was actually in some ways reassuring. It may be because I'm a political science professor, or I was, and it sets the bar pretty low. But again, what you see in these kinds of things is this kind of increasing salience of social media and some of the downsides of social media as far as the public is concerned, that younger folks are more likely to say, let's take a break from it. And mm-hmm. older folks, maybe because they don't know how to delete apps, are more likely to say, are less likely to do it. Then there's one other one that's worth mentioning, and that is the sexual harassment one. Mm-hmm. One of the facts is that about 59%, I think it is, of women claim that during their lifetime they've been sexually harassed. And what's interesting about this, because you can have different explanations, is that the more education you had, the more likely this would be. It differs by race, whites more likely. Now, there are two ways to think about that, one of which is that it actually reflects the number of events. But remember, these events are defined by people's sensitivity toward them. That is, what some person may see as sexual harassment, another may not. That may have something to do with it. But the fact, I guess the overwhelming important factor there is that the significant percentage of women who say that they're sexually harassed. The other thing is the precipitous drop among Catholics in approval of the Pope's handling the sexual harassment, the sexual abuse mm-hmm. issue. The Pope really had not surprisingly, had a very strong sentiment of support when he started. That's dropped a great deal over time, and it doesn't make any difference how devout a Catholic you are. It doesn't vary, even people who attend Mass regularly. I mention that specifically in light of the fact that it was just on the news that a Monsignor in Los Angeles, that's a high-level Catholic prelate, resigned after accusations of sexual abuse.
You know, two points. One, the 6 in 10 women in the U.S. saying that they had been sexually harassed at some point in their lives. I thought that number was low. Actually.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Yeah, you've seen different. Whenever you ask people about those things, you know, you offer a definition about what you mean by sexual abuse. And
harassment.
This is the same with crime victimization. Over time, you initially have to pay attention to how they're defining it. But yeah, you're right. I have seen surveys where it's higher.
The other interesting point, just in living in Hawaii as well, most Americans, 59%, say climate change is affecting their local community, and especially, again, that number goes higher for those who, live near a coast.
Yeah, they measure it. They measure it by how close you live. If you're 25 miles, I think, isn't that the number, 25 miles or less, you're considerably more likely to worry about the effect of climate change. That pretty much takes care of anybody who lives in Hawaii.
So you
would assume it's the same. They don't even look there at polarization, which makes a difference on climate change. Republicans are less likely to see climate change as a problem. But maybe there are no atheists in foxholes. Maybe
exactly.
Everybody agrees when you're that close
none
to the
water. None by the coastline,
yes.
Exactly. Pew Research Center, interesting findings there. Neil Milner. Thanks, Neil.
You're welcome.
Neil Milner, retired professor of political science and contributing editor of our segment, The Long View.